Hi, my name is Dr. Robert Chen. I'm an assistant professor at City Hall Medical Center. I'm also a co-leader of our lymphoma disease team. It's my honor to present to you this topic titled Aiming for a Higher Cure Rate, Strategies for Salvage Treatment at Relapse in Hodgkin Lymphoma. This talk will talk about the standards for salvage therapy at relapse after first-line therapy, prior to high-dose myeloablative chemotherapy and autologous transplant. Also identify the rationale behind increasing the fraction of PET-negative metabolic CR patients prior to transplant. Up to 20 to 30% of Hodgkin lymphoma patients are refractory or relapse to induction regimen ABVD. The standard therapy at this time is combination chemotherapy followed by autologous hematopoietic cell transplant, and it can cure about 50% of the patient. We also know that the CR status at the time of transplant can be predictive outcomes. Here's a table that shows you the four typical salvage regimen that we use: ICE, DHAP, GVD, and GDP. As you can see, the overall response rate are quite high, ranging from 60 to 80%. The CR rate appears to be low, from 9 to 26%. However, that was done in an era without PET scans. Since PET scans have come about, the CR rates of these regimens are a bit higher. For augmented ICE, it's about 60%. For IGIV, it's about 54%. From previous studies, we know that there are different risks that can be predictive outcomes post-transplant. One is, do the patients have B symptoms at the time of relapse? The other is, do they have extranodal disease at the time of relapse? Or did relapse happen less than 1 year from the time of induction therapy? However, the most important factor is the pre-transplant PET status. Patients who are PET negative oftentimes will have a much better outcome compared to PET positive patients. This graphic you see here was done by Dr. Allison Moskowitz at Memorial Sloan Kettering, showing that a PET negative patient had a much higher 2-year event-free survival as compared to a PET positive patient. Besides Dr. Allison Moskowitz, other investigators have looked at the importance of PET scan at the time of transplant. This table shows you a compilation of studies. And you can see that, again, patients who are PET positive have a lower PFS or event-free survival post-transplant compared to patients who are PET negative. We also performed a study that was presented at last year's ASH titled Post-Transplant Outcome of a Multicenter Phase 2 Study of Brentuximab vedotin as First-Line Salvage Therapy in Relapsed Refractory Hodgkin Lymphoma prior to autologous hematopoietic cell transplantation. Brentuximab vedotin is an antibody drug conjugate that targets CD30-positive cells, and Hodgkin lymphoma universally expresses CD30-positive cell in a classical variety. In our trial, we knew that brentuximab has a high response rate in patients post-transplant. So we hypothesized that we can give this drug prior to transplantation. And the study schema is as follows. Patient will get brentuximab for 2 cycles, followed by the CT or PET scan. If they achieve the CR, PR, or stable disease, they then can get 2 more cycles of brentuximab. At that point, they're restaged with CT PET scan. If they're in CR, they can move directly to stem cell mobilization and transplant. If they're in PR, they have the option of going straight to transplant or getting further salvage therapy. If they're a stable disease or progressive disease, then they would go to salvage therapy. And brentuximab here was given at the approved dosing of 1.8 milligram per kilo intravenously outpatient every 3 weeks for 4 cycles maximum. In our study, as a single agent, brentuximab had an overall response rate of 68% and a CR rate of 35% and a PR or partial response rate of 32%. And in a univariate analysis, there was no difference in terms of age, sex, disease, stage, response to induction, bulky disease, or B symptoms. We also, for the patient that did not achieve a complete remission, they went on to further salvage chemotherapy, such as ICE, DICE, IGIV, or GMD. The overall response rate was 89%, and the CR rate was 56%. And it's important to note that by delaying giving these patients the combination chemotherapy, the overall response rate and CR rate did not appear to suffer. So they're not different if they were given a second line or third line setting. In terms of the patient that moved to transplant, out of the total 37 patients, 32 went to autologous hematopoietic cell transplant, and 2 patients went to allogeneic transplant. 3 patients could not proceed to transplant. Overall, 72% of the patients were in complete remission at the time of transplant. And as we alluded earlier, people who are in CR at the time of transplant have a better outcome post-transplant. And in terms of the therapy they received, 47% or almost half of the patients went to transplant receiving brentuximab only, and the other 50% received brentuximab followed by chemotherapy. In terms of the outcome post-transplant, for all patients, the median follow-up was about 21 months. For City Hope patients, it was about 24 months. I want to show you the different columns here because the study was active at City Hope earlier, so we have longer follow-up for the City Hope patients. But in terms of for the all patients, the overall survival at 18 months was about 97%, and the PFF was about 72% at 18 months. Whereas for City Hall only patients, the median follow-up was longer at 24 months, so we can report a 2-year overall survival of 89% and 2-year PFS of 68%. As you can see, they're very similar, with the exception that the City Hall patient had a slightly longer follow-up. Also, the day 100 non-relapse mortality was low at 3 to 4%. I also told you earlier that patients who are in CR had better outcome post-transplant. So among the patients that got transplanted, we broke it down to 2 different curves. The curve above is a patient in CR at time of transplant. The curve below the patient not in CR. You can see that the patient who were in CR did much better. Their 2-year PFS is about 75% compared to 50% for patient not in CR. We also broke it down into patient that received brentuximab only versus the patient that received brentuximab followed by chemotherapy. The patient that received brentuximab only also did very well. Their 2-year PFS was 85% compared to 55% for the patient that required brentuximab plus other forms of chemotherapy. And I show you this slide not to tell you the point that BV only is better than BV plus chemo. But the fact is, there are people that were concerned that the CR to brentuximab may not be as good as CR to combination salvage chemotherapy. But our trial showed that if you receive CR from brentuximab only, the 2-year PFS rate actually compares very favorably. Dr. Allison Moskowitz at Memorial Sloan Kettering also performed a similar study. The difference was they gave brentuximab as a 1.2 milligram per meter squared once a week, rather than the way we did it, which is 1.8 milligram per kilo every 3 weeks. They also found that the patient who had PET negative status or CR status did much better compared to people who were PET positive. A patient who got PET negative after brentuximab alone were just as good as patient who got PET negative after BE plus chemotherapy. So basically, at this time, our strategy for a patient who had failed induction chemotherapy is to give them brentuximab first, a single agent. And they achieve the CR, they can go straight to transplant. If they don't achieve CR then, we can give them further salvage chemotherapy. So these patients have 2 opportunities to achieve CR prior to transplant. And a patient that achieves CR at time of transplant, again, will have the best outcome post-transplant.